Welcome to Around the Ozarks, a public affairs program brought to you by your local Midwest Family Broadcasting Station. Here's your host, Scott Meyer.
And good morning and welcome to this edition of Around the Ozarks. I'm your host, Scott Meyer, the general manager here at the Midwest Family Broadcasting Stations. And as we try to do each and every week here on Around the Ozarks, bring you a guest or guests of interest, sometimes in the public service, some that are politicians, although we try to stay as far away from that as we can these days. But today, and sometimes entrepreneurs, local businessmen and women who've got a great story to tell. But I must tell you, I stumbled on a book a while ago from one of our customers here, and he knows I'm a history buff and living here in the Ozarks now for a little over 3 years. I had the privilege in college of having a really excellent professor, Dr. Davies, who was supposedly at that time one of the foremost knowledgeable around the Civil War period, and really got me intrigued about a lot of things having to do with politics and with history. But we don't need to talk about that. We want to talk about our guest, and I'm excited about our guest this morning for this program because his name is Dr. Brooks Blevins. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Should I call you Doctor? Should I call you Brooks?
Brooks is fine.
Brooks is fine. Yeah. And Dr. Brooks Blevins wrote a book called A History of the Ozarks. When did you write this book? How long ago?
That came out last year.
Oh, it's only a year ago that you actually put this into print.
Yeah, just less than a year ago. It's the first volume in a trilogy, and the next volume will come out later this year.
Well, I must tell you, first of all, I want to thank you because I know you're not in town all the time. You're a professor at Missouri State.
Right.
But you're in and out of here how often?
Well, every week. I actually live in Arkansas.
Oh, you do?
I teach here in Springfield, and so I just sort of shuttle back and forth. I like to say I'm traveling the Ozarks, the region that I study. So I make a circuit every week.
That's not a bad job. How far down do you live in Arkansas?
Down south of West Plains.
Oh, is
so
that right?
Actually,
okay,
it's actually a good trip.
But that's a gorgeous drive.
Yeah, I get to see a lot of the region. Get to see the seasons change. And that drive doesn't get as old as you would think it would after 11 years. It's still nice.
Well, this particular person piqued my interest about a year ago with a book on the history of the Civil War in the Ozarks. And as well as that book was written and obviously all the historic fact that was involved, it was a quick read. But he said, I think you're really going to like this other book since you like that first one. And he introduced me to yours, History of the Ozarks. And I got to tell you, I wasn't the best student in college. And I had a lot of professors that could put me to sleep in a heartbeat. But the way you've written this book was so intriguing to me because it's so well written. I mean, I'm thinking it's a professor of a history class. And of course, you know, he's going to put books out and make his students all read them. And he doesn't really care if they're going to like him or not. But anybody that's listening to this program this morning, Brooks, I hope if they've got any kind of a historical want or need or perspective for this area, that they pick up a copy of this book.
Well, I really appreciate that, Scott. You know, I've always kind of thought of myself as a writer first and a historian, 1A or second. And it is very important for me to write things that are accessible to people who don't have PhDs in history who aren't in graduate school, something like that. So that's nice of you to say, and it's sort of reinforces what I had tried to do with that book. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is real, legitimate history. It's based on years of research, and it's footnoted and all that kind of stuff.
But it's not dry.
Well, I appreciate that.
You've got a way with the language, much like a musician. You know, everybody can play notes, but at some point, you're able to play music. And I got to tell you, at least from my perspective, and I read a lot, it's one of the better books I've read in some time.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, for writing history, there is a melody line, but it's kind of like jazz. I mean, you what you do with it, differs from person to person, and so I like that analogy. It's one that I've used a lot myself.
So, Dr. Brooks, you said at heart you're an author, yet here you are, you're a professor of history. Any particular history at Missouri State? What do you deal with there?
Yeah, the Missouri State hired me 11 years ago to be their Ozark Studies guy. My background is actually in Southern history, the U.S. South, stuff like that. But I had written a couple books on the Ozarks. I'm a native of the Ozarks, so it had a lot of personal meaning to me. And that had always been my main thrust within Southern history. But when Missouri State created a position just for a person to teach Ozark studies, not just history, but literature and other
things. I think that's fascinating that they would do that.
Yeah, and I got the job, and I'm still here 11 years later. I'm still the only Ozark studies guy that we've had out there. But I love the job. I love teaching about the Ozarks. And so it's been a real nice thing for me.
My guest this morning on Around the Ozarks is Dr. Brooks Blevins, who's a professor over at Missouri State, teaching a course just about the Ozarks. Interestingly enough, the book really goes back in time. I mean, really to the introduction of what even the Ozarks was created, by our creator. But again, it's not dry that way. You introduce that, but then you carry forward with some really interesting stories.
Yeah, for me, in the trilogy, this was probably the funnest book to write because it's the book that I knew the least amount about.
Is that right? So you had to do a little research.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. A little research for sure. I had done very little research on the pre-Civil War era before I started on this book, and this is all pre-Civil War era. Mm-hmm. And certainly, I knew next to nothing about geology and prehistory and Native American history and a lot of that stuff that makes up the first third of the book. So that was all new and exciting to me, and there were things that I discovered in that research that I didn't know. In the early 1800s, there was a time when the Ozarks, and specifically the White River Valley, almost became an autonomous Indian nation.
Mm-hmm.
The Ozarks became sort of a dumping ground for Eastern Native American tribes, the Cherokees and the Delawares and the Shawnees and the Kickapoos and groups like that.
Sure.
And thousands of them were pushed out of their homelands back east of the Mississippi. They landed here in the Ozarks. And leaders of some of those groups, especially the Shawnees and the Cherokees, got together in the 1820s and they said, we're tired of being pushed around. We're tired of moving around. Let's just try to convince the U.S. government to let us have this place right here, just kind of the heart of the Ozarks, and we'll stay here. And they went, they talked to William Clark of Lewis and Clark fame. Mm-hmm. He was the national Indian agent at that time. He thought it was a good idea. He sends a couple of these leaders all the way to Washington, D.C., and they meet with the president-to-be, John Quincy Adams. He doesn't think it's all that bad of an idea either, but it ends up getting shot down by John C. Calhoun, who's about to be vice president of the United States. And the plan falls apart, but there's a moment in time there in the 1820s where it looks like, well, it's possible this could be, Indian territory, that the Ozarks Indian territory, but it's ultimately not to be. And
so define for our listeners the Ozarks and not to the Netflix show. Which, unfortunately, is shot. A lot of it's shot in Georgia. But what are the parameters? What are the actual geographical parameters of the Ozarks? It seems to take in an awful lot of land.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big territory, roughly the size of the state of New York. Geographers define the Ozarks as sort of very loosely encapsulated by the Missouri River, the Mississippi River, the Arkansas River, and the Grand or Neosho River on the west.
Okay.
And that means the boundaries go basically into suburban St. Louis. They go up the Missouri River Valley. They even clip a little bitty tiny corner of Kansas, go well into northeastern Oklahoma, most of southern Missouri, much of northern and northwestern Arkansas. So it's about a 50,000 square mile chunk of land that we're talking about.
It's a big chunk of land.
Yeah, it's a big territory.
No question. Dr. Brooks Blevins, my guest this morning on Around the Ozarks, the author of a book entitled A History of the Ozarks, which, again, if you didn't hear the beginning of the show, I personally think is a wonderful book. Easy to find on Amazon. For me, it was a gift from my lovely bride for our 41st wedding anniversary. But a great read, and now I want to know more. So you're saying you're writing this as part of a trilogy. Is the rest of the trilogy already written?
The second part is.
And really?
It will be out about September 1st of this year, and it is the Civil War era. So if you like the Civil War...
So you're going to make me buy even more books.
Yeah,
I'll be reading all kinds of your Blevins books. That's crazy.
Yeah, hopefully it won't be disappointing after the first one. But yeah, that's the second one. It will be subtitled The Conflicted Ozarks, and it has a chapter on slavery in the Ozarks, which will be really the most substantial study of slavery in this region that there is. Mm-hmm. And it goes into the Civil War, the home front, the battles, all that kind of stuff. And then it also... has chapters on Reconstruction, the equally tumultuous and often bloody period that follows the Civil War.
Now, the Blevins family, if we take that into account, how far does your family go back in this area?
My Blevins ancestors were relative newcomers to the Ozarks, and the old Ozarks natives who are listening to the show out there will know what I'm talking about when I say they showed up in the 1880s.
Okay. Irish?
You know, I'm told that the family is Welsh.
Okay.
But they've been in North America so long, I'm not even really sure exactly where they came from. They may have been English or something else.
Mm-hmm.
But they were pretty representative of the kinds of people who tended to settle in the Ozarks. They had lived in the mountains back east. In this case, they had lived in the mountains of North Georgia and northeastern Alabama. Before coming west.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the Ozarks settlers, especially the pre-Civil War era and of the 19th century in general, came from places like from Appalachia, what we today call Appalachia, from the mountains of Tennessee and Kentucky and the Carolinas and places like that.
Oh, that's fascinating. So they came west because they wanted better land, because this, I know the land around here isn't necessarily great for farming. It's
right.
Great for cattle, but not necessarily farming.
Yeah, most of them, that's exactly what they were in search of. They were in search of land. It's even no more people than there were in places like East Tennessee or mm-hmm. Western North Carolina in those days. From an agricultural standpoint, it was still getting overcrowded. And most of the land had been bought up. And if you were young and just married and trying to make a life for yourself, you didn't have many opportunities back east, and so the Ozarks was just this great field of opportunity for people to come out to claim cheap land and to try to start life over. You're right that the land, they passed over a lot of much more fertile land
mm-hmm.
than they claimed once they got to the Ozarks. But a lot of these people, since they came from places where the terrain and the soil fertility quality and all that kind of stuff was very similar to the Ozarks, they were landing somewhere that they were familiar with. And they could carry on their farming practices and their lifestyles basically unchanged. And if they had, say, landed in northern Missouri or mm-hmm. in Kansas or somewhere like that where it's flat and you got much more fertile soil and all that kind of stuff, they may not have known exactly what to do with all of that potential prosperity there.
You know, it would have been very different.
That's
history.
Right. Yeah, it's a very different way of life in those places.
My guest this morning on Around the Ozarks is Dr. Brooks Blevins, professor at Missouri State University, as well as author of the book A History of the Ozarks. We're going to break, but when we come back, we'll see if we can get a couple of stories from some of that great period before the Civil War out of Brooks, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Springfield criminals are lazy, like Will here. Will woke up at the crack of noon, put on his favorite Steely Dan shirt, and walked down to the gas station to get his day started. He didn't particularly have a path planned out for his day until you were a pal and helped him out. I mean, how could Will resist himself? You made it so easy. You left your car running with the keys in it and the doors unlocked. You might as well put a bow on it. This was no criminal conspiracy or masterful execution of Grand Theft Auto. No. Will opened an unlocked car door and was gone in seconds.
Yeehaw!
Criminals like Will will always want easy money. And the one thing you can't afford to be with people like Will in the world is lazy.
This is Officer Laughlin, the Springfield Police Department. 1 second and the press of a button can stop most auto thefts. Last year, over 1,600 cars were stolen in Springfield alone. In nearly 600 of those cases, either the vehicle was left running or the keys were left inside. Remember, lock it to stop it.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes that no matter what you do in this life, you keep doing. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
And welcome back to Around the Ozarks. I'm your host, Scott Meyer, the general manager here at the Midwest Family Broadcasting Stations. And great morning this morning for the show because I've got a local author on and someone who's obviously very passionate about the history of this area, Dr. Brooks Blevins, from this area. Now, your family was from Arkansas. Your roots are in Arkansas.
From the Arkansas Ozarks.
And I don't recall how deeply it got into that here, but in my short time living in this area, the Ozarks and the Arkansas are a little different from the Ozarks in Missouri. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Right, and I think that's really more of a post-Civil War development. One of the things that it was enjoyable writing this book about the Ozarks before the Civil War, I didn't really concentrate all that much on that state line, the differences. What happens is, because of the Civil War and because Arkansas and Missouri are on different sides of the Civil mm-hmm. War, and one is a loser and one is the winner, you have different paths that those states take after 1865.
So that really is a result of after the Civil War.
It really is. Okay. But even in the pre-Civil War era, certainly Arkansas was still more rural. It was less populated, mm-hmm. even in the Ozarks part of these regions. Really, where the great differences are in the Ozarks, and I think that probably the greatest difference is an interior difference in the Ozarks. The Ozarks is, and anybody who's traveled much around the region at all knows this mm-hmm. already. I'm not telling them anything they don't know. The Ozarks is very diverse in terms of terrain. You go from the hills and hollers of Taney County to the prairies of Lawrence County, and you've got the Boston Mountains down in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And you've got the so-called Cottaway Hills over in the current river country around Eminence and those places. Very different sorts of terrains. And the biggest divide is between what we call the Springfield Plain, which is the sort of prairie-like, almost flat mm-hmm. sort of part of the Ozarks that Springfield sets on. And if you think of where most of the people in the Ozarks live, where most of the prosperity in the Ozarks is, where the Fortune 500 companies are, and all that, where the big universities are, they're all on the Springfield Plain, either in Springfield mm-hmm. or down in Northwest Arkansas. That's all the same. It's all part of the same landform. It's all part of the same subregion of the Ozarks. And historically, that was the most prosperous, the most fertile part of the Ozarks, and that prosperity has been around the Springfield Plain mm-hmm. from the earliest days of settlement almost 200 years ago into the present day. So in a lot of ways, back then and still today, you've sort of got almost like two Ozarks. You've got your prosperous Springfield Plain mm-hmm. from Springfield down to Fayetteville, and then you've got everything else. I'm from one of those everything else places. And my students who are only familiar with Springfield, mm-hmm. For instance, or just this area, one of the things I do in a lot of my classes is I have them do what we call an Ozarks road trip, because I want to get them out in these everywhere else places
sure.
To see areas that don't experience the kind of prosperity that Springfield and Fayetteville and Bentonville and places like that have experienced, and to kind of see that other part of the Ozarks that may look a little bit more like Winter's Bone than you know Springfield people are accustomed to. And that's kind of the divide. Whether you're in Arkansas or Missouri, it's whether or not you're on that kind of Springfield Plain
sure.
Subregion.
You know, a best-kept secret, or certainly was for us until we visited there our first time, and we're definitely going back, is the drive down 7 down to Hot Springs mm-hmm. And seeing the Ozark Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
I mean, it took our breath away. And we were there in the fall, so it was during the color change. I have not, and we've been to the Grand Canyon, I've not seen anything quite as beautiful. And we get a chance to travel all around the world. I'm not sure I've ever seen anything quite as beautiful as that view.
Yeah.
It's an amazing, and it's so different from this area, not in a bad way, or I mean, just it's just something that's amazing. It took our breath away.
Yeah, yeah. And Highway 7 in Arkansas is probably the most popular and most traveled, you know, tourist road and sightseer road for that reason. You got the Grand Canyon, the little Grand Canyon mm-hmm. down there. You go right through the Buffalo National River
which
territory.
Is amazing. Yeah.
And of course you go from that area around the Buffalo River right into the Boston Mountains, mm-hmm. the highest elevations of the Ozarks. Not technically not mountains, but still the most mountainous thing that you'll see in the Ozarks.
And but why do you really think it's such impressive. A well-kept secret? I mean, having lived around the country, the only place my wife and I and family haven't lived is on the West Coast. I never, ever, ever knew this area was as beautiful as it is. And certainly, and now with the history from your book, on top of that, you just don't hear a heck of a lot about it when you're outside of Missouri and Arkansas.
And I think a lot of that is because in that part of the Ozarks, you have no interstate highways, so there aren't large numbers of people just traveling through to get to somewhere else. Mm-hmm. The really scenic places in the Ozarks, you don't just travel through those places. Usually you're going there to see those places, and I think that has a lot to do with it. The parts of the Ozarks that large numbers of people see on I-44, there are hills and there are scenic areas on I-44, but it's not quite
not like
to the
that.
Scenic level. Yeah, if you get into the Boston Mountains, the Buffalo
44,
River
you're
country.
Dodging the semis. That's pretty much.
Well, that's right. You're trying to protect yourself on
now,
I-44.
So you learned a lot about a lot that you didn't know. You want to share a couple of stories about things you learned that were kind of a slap the forehead eureka moment?
One of the interesting things about the Ozarks is there is this kind of stereotype, this image of Ozarkers fighting with each other and feuding with each other all the time. And I do have some fighting stories in there, mm-hmm. but they usually have some sort of logical cause for them. And there's one story about the so-called Slicker War that takes place in the northern part of the Ozarks, just north of here, as far south as Polk County, but up into Hickory County, Benton County, that area. And it all starts because of counterfeited money. And that was actually not an uncommon thing mm-hmm. in the Ozarks. There are multiple stories of counterfeiters. And I guess if you were going to go somewhere in the country and counterfeit, this would be a place, you know, lots of places to hide out.
Sure.
And who would know, you know, if you're passing money until it gets in the wrong hands. But this Slicker War starts over counterfeited money, turns into just this really political battle between, back in those days, it was between Democrats and Whigs. Those were the mm-hmm. two main political parties in those days. And you had your slickers and your anti-slickers. And the term slicker was used to, back in those days, in the same way that, like you would say, if you slicked someone, it was like whipping someone.
Mm-hmm.
So these were people who were going out and using hickory switches and actually whipping people they didn't like, which is that's another old kind of American rural tradition.
Sure.
Thankfully, it's one of those traditions we've kind of left behind in the 19th century, but that was a tradition. And so you just have years and years of bloodshed and warfare. But for the most part, when you dig underneath the surface, it's political in nature. Mm-hmm. And today, you know, we often just kind of sort of set back and marvel. The more moderate you are, probably the more you set back and marvel at just how nasty politics is today in America. But if you read, you know, some of these stories from the 19th century, we can't hold a candle to what they were doing.
Can you imagine?
They were killing people over politics.
Well, the history that you've studied and the history you're aware of, if we had social media 150 years ago, I mean, I don't know how we're going to get through it going forward, but I can only imagine. I mean, in those days, even when you went to Washington, guys were pulling handguns out and shooting each other in Congress.
Yeah.
I mean,
Right. You know. Yeah, it's... It, and I think in general, violence was a more prevalent part of the culture in those days. And in a place like the Ozarks, where law enforcement wasn't very good, and that generally happens when you've got newly settled areas. It takes a generation or two before law enforcement really becomes effective. And so a lot of people are just a lot of these people are used to living out on the frontier in sparsely settled areas, and they're accustomed to taking care of themselves and sort of enforcing the law in their own vigilante way. And so that's what basically this is. It's just a vigilante war that takes place in the rural Ozarks. Kind of a precursor to the Bald Knobbers in many ways, which is a post-Civil War vigilante war that takes place.
Which will be in your next book.
Which will be in the next book, right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dr. Brooks Blevins is my guest this morning. Dr. Blevins is a professor over at Missouri State, teaching about the history of the Ozarks. And we're here this morning talking about a book that he wrote last year, or was published last year, A History of the Ozarks. The next book in the trilogy, what's the name of that book going to be?
It's subtitled The Conflicted Ozarks.
Okay.
Yeah, and it will be...
And what period of time will that be from?
The first chapter in that book is on slavery, and then it gets right into the Civil War and goes through Reconstruction. It's roughly... Well, here's what we were just talking about, the Bald Knobbers, and that's how I end Volume 2. I take the story up through the Bald Knobbers and through the triple hanging that took place on the square in Ozark in 1889. And that's where I end Volume 2.
Now, the author in you is probably dying to get out and write some fiction?
Not really.
You sure could.
I'm such a truthful guy.
Yeah.
I don't know that that fiction is... I've thought about it, but I don't know that I have anything to say.
Well, don't sell yourself short. Yeah. I think you could probably make something pretty darn interesting, especially if you played off of the real history.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine spending time in Hot Springs, for instance. The history in that area.
Oh yeah.
Is really something else.
Yeah, you got the mob and all kinds of
and the ball players.
Baseball.
And,
There's a lot, and there are a lot of. Eureka Springs, which is in many ways kind of a smaller version of Hot Springs. You know, you got all kinds of neat stories and places like that. But yeah, there's that's the thing about the Ozarks. Even by the time I get through with this trilogy, three books and roughly 750 pages on the history of the Ozarks, there are still going to be so many stories to tell that I don't think I'm hogging this for anybody else who wants to write about the Ozarks. And I think there are more and more people today who are interested in Ozarks history than there ever have been before.
Now, if I want to, people listening to the program this morning want to get a copy of your book, Amazon is obviously one place you can go. Where else can they find it?
Yeah, they can get it at Barnes & Noble. And there are lots of, like State Park, National Park, gift shops have it, even some independent bookstores around. But you can get it anywhere, online. Anywhere.
Audiobook? Is it an audiobook too?
It's not an audiobook.
Okay.
Yeah. No one wants to listen to me read 250 pages, I guess. Apparently, that's the case.
Well, sometimes authors hire people to do
that. That's right. Yeah, so I would.
A ghost audience.
Yeah, we could get Billy Bob Thornton or someone like that to read this.
Well, Brooks, we're out of time. And I want to thank you again for coming in and talking about obviously your favorite subject, which is the history of this area.
Yeah.
You'll agree to come back?
I sure will.
Excellent, because we'd love to have you back. And certainly when you're ready to release the new book.
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
My guest this morning has been Dr. Brooks Blevins, the author of A History of the Ozarks and professor full-time out at Missouri State, teaching about the history of the Ozarks. I want to thank you for coming in this morning. You've been listening to Around the Ozarks, the program, not the book, and can be found on our website at mwfmarketing.fm. If you click on the top tab for ATO, you'll get a complete version of this morning's program as a podcast if you missed any part of it. Dr. Brooks, thanks again. I want to thank my producer, Brian. Brian, you did a great job. And as always, we'll be back next week with another great guest. You've been listening to Around the Ozarks on the Midwest Family Broadcasting Stations.
Thank you for joining us for Around the Ozarks, a public affairs program brought to you by your local Midwest Family Broadcasting Station. Listen again next Sunday morning at 6 a.m. Find this and all other segments of Around the Ozarks at mwfmarketing.fm.